Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So I got this from JC. JC wrote me and he said, Kevin, I was surprised you didn't mention the Daron Payne penalty and why we started the drive afterwards at our 20-yard line when the ball went out of bounds. Do you have an explanation? So I do have an explanation. And JC, thank you for that. I went and had to look all of this stuff up. First of all, Washington didn't start at the 20. They started at the 25-yard line. But the situation he's referring to, in the game on Sunday, Dallas kicked a second field goal to take a 6-0 lead. After the field goal, Daron Payne got into it with a player and took a swing at that player and got penalized 15 yards. More on Daron Payne overall coming up here in the first hour of the show, because I have a feeling some of you are not aware of something and a bit of a change with his positioning defensively, but we'll talk about that in a bit. Let me get back to this play. So Daron gets flagged 15 yards for unnecessary roughness. There is a shot, by the way, because I talked about this on my podcast, and somebody sent me a shot of the player that he took a swing at, grabbed him in his private areas, in his private area after the play, which is what kind of pissed off Daron Payne. Anyway, 15-yard penalty means Dallas, post-field goal penalty, they're going to kick off from the 50. Brandon Aubrey kicked off from the 50 and intentionally kicked the ball out of bounds. Denton, do you know why he did that?
Because he really didn't like the cheerleader that he drilled?
He did drill a cheerleader. Tress Way, very nice to go over and check on her. But do you know why he kicked the ball out of bounds intentionally? Because it was intentional?
I would assume it was because of the rule that put them at the 25 rather than the 40.
Okay, but do you know what the rule is?
I do not know what the rule is directly.
So this is the part which is interesting. Everybody just assumes when a kickoff goes out of bounds, that means the other team gets the ball at the 40-yard line. That's actually not the rule. The rule is they get the ball 25 yards from where it was kicked off. So when you kick off from the 35 and you kick it out of bounds, the returning team gets the ball at the 40-yard line because the 40-yard line is 25 yards from the other team's 35. But when you kick it off from the 50, 25 yards is the 25-yard line. That's why Dallas kicked the ball out of bounds intentionally, because they gained 5 yards of field position. Typically, Aubrey boots it out of the end zone. All right, so teams start at the 30. Now, you know, well, why wouldn't they have done that last year, Kevin, or at, you know, at some other point? Last year, remember, the ball was, you got the ball to start at the 25-yard line. With the new kickoff return rules, you get the ball at the 30. So Dallas, in a very clever way, using the 25-yard rule from the 50-yard line, intentionally kicked it out of bounds, giving Washington the ball 25 yards from the kickoff spot at their own 25-yard line. They gained 5 yards of field position from normally what they do, which is have Aubrey boot the ball back through the end zone. But in going back and looking up the rule, I found something that was much more interesting than the 25 yards, not just the 40-yard line. And that is that the returning team has the option of taking the ball 25 yards from where it was kicked off or sending the kickoff back 5 yards and having them re-kick it. Clearly, Washington didn't know that part of the rule, because if they knew that part of the rule, they would have had Aubrey kick the ball off from the 45, and that way he wouldn't have kicked it out of bounds, because 25 yards from the 45 would have been the 30. So he would have just kicked it through the end zone, and Washington would have gotten the ball at the 30. So thank you, JC, for making me go back and look at the rule book on this. I did have a sense that it was yardage-based, not just the 40-yard line. I had no clue that the returning team has an option to have the kicking team re-kick it from 5 yards back. So Washington started that drive at the 25 when, if they were better with the understanding of what Dallas did intentionally and what they could have made Dallas do, re-kick it 5 yards back, they lost five yards of field position. I thought that was interesting. So the other thing, too, I was thinking about as when I went back and looked this up is there was something else I didn't mention in my game take yesterday, and that was Turpin had the ball in his hands on that final kickoff, Denton. We didn't talk about this yesterday. We still don't have a kicker capable of kicking it through the back of the end zone. Zane Gonzalez tried to, okay, indoors, you know, perfect, you know, weather conditions, the perfect environment to boot the ball out of the back of the end zone. He did drive Turpin 5 yards deep into the end zone, but with 3 seconds to go, what's the last thing you'd want to do on the final play of the game? Allow Turpin to have the ball in his hands. We've seen that show already. And then, for whatever reason, Turpin took the ball out and ran out of bounds. I guess he didn't see a crease, he didn't see an opportunity, and they didn't have, if you go back and watch that play, it's not like they appeared to be setting up for some sort of, you know, lateral, you know, pitch it around kind of a play. I think they wanted Turpin to down the ball, get the ball at the 30, and then Turpin would still be on the field offensively, but have their other skill position players on the field for one last play. But still, like, the one thing you don't want to do is kick the ball to Kevontae Turpin and have him hold the ball and have the ability to make a play on the last play of the game. And they gave him that opportunity. Gonzalez did his best to drive the ball out of the end zone, but he couldn't do it. Anyway, I thought those were interesting, special teams plays to discuss, even though we didn't talk about them yesterday. The kickoff rule being the most interesting. Dallas figured out something, and Washington had a counter but didn't know what the counter was or didn't use it for some reason. Of course, if they really knew what the rule was, they would have used it and gained 5 yards back in field position. So, I had somebody call me just to say, you know, you're a Daron Payne fan, and our fans are absolutely killing him for the season he's having. And then he pointed me in the direction of looking at various plays from the last two games. Did you guys know? Denton did know. He said he was talking about it on the in-game show on Sunday. That Daron Payne has been lining up half the time at defensive end. Daron Payne as a 4-3 D end with John Allen, Johnny Newton inside, and typically Dorrance Armstrong being the other guy on the outside. And I did not pick up on that, but it's happened for a couple of games now. And the reason for it is that Daron is one of the only players capable of setting the edge. They have had a difficult time this year stopping the run, as we all know. They have really had a difficult time on outside edge runs. You know, go back a week ago to what Bijan Robinson did to them. I mean, thank God they held onto the ball in the third quarter and the fourth quarter, and Bijan Robinson only had 3 carries in the second half because Atlanta didn't have the ball. They could not stop him. They haven't been able to stop a lot of teams on the ground. And by the way, you got a big time back in Bucky Irving Sunday night to deal with. But Daron has, you know, they move him around. It's not that he isn't playing inside because they rotate a lot of defensive tackles. I mean, in the game, let me just tell you right now, 6, Fowler Jr. is not an edge setter. You know, you're not going to see one of the reasons Daron's in the game at D end, opposite Armstrong or opposite sometimes it's John Baptiste, sometimes it's Holmes, 96, is Fowler Jr. is really a specialist. You know, he is a pass rusher. By the way, they like Daron as an inside pass rusher because he's actually what they refer to as an influencer on quarterback decisions because of his athleticism and his length. And he tipped that ball that actually Luvu had a shot at. Look, I'm not here to tell you that I think Daron Payne's had a good season. I don't. I don't think he's had a good season at all. And I think that, you know, there are three or four players defensively that have stood out from a positive standpoint, and 94 is not one of them. I'm just telling you that because they have struggled and they recognize their struggle in stopping the run, it's a problem. It's a big problem. And they know it, and they've tried a lot of different things. And in recent weeks, it's been moving the guy that they think has the best chance of setting the edge, Daron Payne, to left defensive end, and having Newton and Allen, you know, easier to do with John back, with Allen back. The one thing that I think Daron has really struggled with this year is double teams. He's not, you know, holding his ground on double teams this year. That's been a big issue. Allen back, he's a little bit better at holding the double teams. But I thought, you know, Denton, when I mentioned this to you before the show, you're like, yeah, we picked up on it, you know, during the game and saw him lining up at defensive end. It wasn't the entire game. It is for portions of it. They are rotating a lot of defensive linemen. Right? I mean, look at just looking at the snap counts for D linemen. So Johnny Newton had 43 snaps. Daron had the most snaps of any of their D linemen on Sunday against the Cowboys. By the way, just kind of tells you, honestly, you know, we can say what we want to say. Daron being out there for the most snaps of any of the defensive linemen tells you that they actually have more confidence in him than they do some of the others. But he's also playing two positions right now. He's playing left defensive end, and he's playing inside as well. And he's playing left defensive end because they consider him to be the best edge setter that they have. I don't know that he's great at it, but based on what they have, they think it's their best shot to stop the run. And I'll tell you, the other thing they are doing clearly, especially against teams that they deem to be one-dimensional from a quarterback perspective, and they've had a lot of those matchups, as we've pointed out, they are really going with heavy boxes on obvious rundowns. And even that doesn't always work for them. It's really, really crucial Sunday night that they get Lattimore back and he's healthy, because where they've struggled up front, they have not made up for it on their back end. You know, it's like we struggle up front, but the good news is we're terrible on the back end. And that's kind of where they've been. They've got to be better on the back end so that they can commit with confidence to stopping the running game. They're committing to heavy boxes, but they're doing it with great risk. They feel, I think, like the risk is minimized if Lattimore's out there and healthy. We'll see, right? Because bottom line is, A.J. Brown kind of torched him in his last game. Two weeks ago against Philly at home. He's had this long-standing rivalry with Mike Evans that I'm sure most of you know as a New Orleans Saint for all those years. So that'll be certainly a sidebar story going into the game on Sunday night. Defense is the problem, and they're trying to come up with ways to improve. We've seen 17 games of it now. The good news is you have a chance to play good defense by playing better offense. They can play really good offensively. They can keep the ball, and they can keep the defense on the sideline and keep Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and Bucky Irving on the sideline. That is their path to victory moving forward Sunday night and maybe beyond. You know, the other way would be for Baker Mayfield to put three or four balls up for grabs, which is not unheard of with him, and you make them pay off defensively by catching them, because there will likely be a couple of throws. Now, I mean, Trey Lance had so many wide open, explosive opportunities. You know, Baker typically throws those picks when he gets frustrated. You've seen it with Baker Mayfield over the years. He gets impulsive, actually. He gets impatient. And he's like, you know, I got to start forcing it because I don't have guys that are getting open. Guys are going to get open against our group, especially if Lattimore's not out there. But I think he will be out there. Certainly hoping for that. But interesting just kind of what Joe Witt Jr. and Quinn and what they're trying to do. They recognize this is their vulnerability. This is what will keep them from winning. And they're trying things. It's not like they're just sitting there. They, looking at the snap counts from Sunday, like if you look at the defensive line, Payne was out there for 55, Armstrong 47 snaps, John Allen 44, Newton 43, Fowler Jr. 33, Sheldon Day 31, Jalen Holmes 24 snaps, Cleveland Farrell 24 snaps, John Baptiste 13 snaps. They played 9 defensive linemen in that game, you know, with really only 90, John Baptiste having, you know, an insignificant number of snaps, although he was on the field for 13 snaps. They're trying everything. You know, the other thing, too, is when you have to load the box to stop the run, or in passing situations, you know, you've got your best defensive player. And let's just say that Frankie Louvu, you know, Louvu or Wagner, one of the two of them. I think it's Louvu personally. But with the coverage issues you have had, it's been, you know, they've had to use Louvu too much in coverage. We want Louvu getting after the quarterback on passing situations. You know, that's really where you want him in that Micah Parsons role, lining up all over the place and finding that weak link and getting after the quarterback. But they've had to use Louvu in coverage, which, you know, you don't really want. But you have to because you don't have anybody that can cover. So I guess net-net, Daron Payne playing a lot at defensive end. Interesting. The reason being they believe he's one of their best, if not the best, opportunity they have to set the edge. And number two is they have to be healthy Sunday night on defense. They've got to have Lattimore, and he's got to be healthy. They've got to add another good player to the defensive side of the ball, or they're going to give up 30. If Mayfield doesn't turn it over. And you're going to have to match that or exceed that. All right. Dan Quinn said something yesterday about the sacks that they took on Sunday. I had some thoughts on that. We'll get to that next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app. Listen to us there whenever you want, wherever you want, and leave us a voicemail message, which you can now do by downloading the Odyssey app.